After 30 years in practice in the fitness industry, I have seen it all. Can you believe that there was no internet when I started my professional career in the mid-90s? I can honestly say I've experienced every major health, fitness, and nutrition trend since then. And I've used myself as the guinea pig to gain insights so that I can help you become stronger, leaner, and a better version of yourself. And let me tell you, I've got some stories to tell. If you're interested in hearing a more personal side to my own journey and some of the behind the scenes of my life, keep listening. Welcome to the Holly Perkins Health Podcast. If you're a woman over the age of 35 and have health, fitness, or nutrition questions for your body, you're in the right place. I'm Holly Perkins, a women's strength and nutrition expert with over 30 years of experience, helping thousands of women transform their bodies to be stronger, more resilient, and more energetic, inside and out. Every week, you'll walk away with a real plan for improving your body composition so you can feel better now, reduce inflammation, and create lasting health. So, if you're ready to create the body that you need to keep up with the life that you love, let's dive in. Hello, and thank you for being here. If you are new, welcome. I'm Holly Perkins, and I help women, mostly over 40, to improve your body composition so that you are at least 70% lean mass so that you can reduce your risk of disease and stay in the game of life and out of the rocking chair. Today's episode is a little bit different, and honestly, it's really special because I am in the hot seat. My best friend Jill is taking over the mic and turning the tables on me. So if you don't know our story, Jill and I met more than 10 years ago and became fast friends instantly. Beyond being an incredible human, she is also wildly talented in business. And for a decade, I watched her become a quiet powerhouse behind the scenes of other brands, helping other thought leaders step into their message and their mission in a much bigger way. And for 10 years, I kept thinking, imagine if I had someone like Jill on my team. And for 10 years, I searched for my own version of Jill. And then finally, this year, the timing aligned. And to my total surprise and deep gratitude, Jill officially joined the mission, helping me support the work that I care about most. So today, Jill from my team is grabbing the microphone to interview me for a fun behind-the-scenes look at my life, my journey, and the path that really led me here. There are few people who know me as well as she does, and she has seen every age and stage and every evolution of both my life and my business. This episode is less about the science and more about me, the woman behind the mic. And when you listen, you might find that it gives you a whole new lens on why I care so deeply about helping women create the body they need to keep up with the life that they love. I hope you enjoy this one. It is personal, it's honest, and it's a bit different. I am so excited to do this. This is definitely out of my comfort zone and certainly a different approach to the podcast than I've ever done before. But Jill, I'm so excited to do this with you. I think this is such a great idea. And I think it would be great to just introduce you and tell us a little bit about you before we jump into the interview.
Absolutely. Hi, everybody. So I'm Jill, and I've been Holly's best friend for over 10 years. You know, I can tell you there's a lot you probably don't know about this woman behind the weights. I've had the honor of supporting Holly behind the scenes for, oh my gosh, over 10 years. More officially in the last year, I've come onto the team. I've met many of you, and I really feel so honored and excited to support Holly's brand, really, by bringing on aligned partners, supporting during enrollment, helping really build the business from the inside out, a lot of what you don't see behind the scenes. And while I'm not a fitness coach, some of you will ask me fitness questions, I'm very passionate about helping women really change their bodies and really passionate about this work. In fact, I personally am enrolled in the Body Composition Project. We did a podcast about that a few months ago in an episode. Scroll back, you'll see it. And, you know, I've really been doing it this round. So that's how much I believe in the work. And I had an idea yesterday, Holly and I were talking, and I said, why don't we do like a behind the scenes of Holly? So it's the conversations that we've had, so many, too many to count, over coffee, wine, even an IPA beer. That's her favorite, not mine, where we talk about what it really takes to create the body you need to keep up with the life you love. I used your tagline.
I love it. Good job.
It's kind of a reverse podcast today where I'm interviewing Holly and we're getting to learn a little bit more about her journey. Like I said, beyond just the magic and the incredible knowledge base she has in strength training and fitness and eating, there's so much more that I know people love to learn. And that was really the inspiration for this episode.
I love it. Let's go.
So let's go all the way back. What moment made you realize that strength training really was your life's work?
As you know, I've been in the fitness industry my entire life. And as soon as I graduated college, I became a personal trainer. And gosh, this was in the mid-90s. It was a very different fitness landscape than it is right now. This was actually, if you can believe it, before the internet when I started my career. And so back in those days, fitness was a bit more fringe. We all were just really trying to figure things out. There was not a lot of science to fitness yet. And so it was a lot of trial and error. It was a lot of learning from someone else who was a self-professed expert, right? So I learned from mentors. I had other coaches that I followed. And for the majority, I would say probably for half of my professional career, fitness was cardio. It was running. It was dance classes. It was cycling or spinning. And strength training, especially for women, was very unusual. Most women did not do strength training. Maybe they would pick up a 1 or a 2 pound weight in like a dance aerobics class, but that was like the extent of it. And so for the early part of my career, where I was a trainer and a coach, I was also my own guinea pig, and I was also on an exploration to really find the holy grail of human optimization, performance, fitness, energy, body composition, all of those things. And it was a very long road, largely because we didn't have the internet. And in my, it was about my mid-30s, I really was just going through a life transition. I had been living in New York City for 10 years. Really struggling with symptoms of depression, not feeling well. At the time, I didn't know it, but I had an autoimmune condition. My diet was nowhere near what it needed to be for optimal health, and I didn't know these things. All I knew was I felt terrible, and I felt that I needed a new direction in life. And so I moved to Los Angeles. I knew no one. I completely started my business over as a personal trainer there. And I was in one of those phases where it was just like the dark night of the soul or maybe Saturn in return. It was really trying to figure out myself and life. And the one thing I knew was that most of the time I didn't feel well. At that same time, the internet had now become more popular. And actually, we were now using Facebook and social media became a thing. And I started to realize that the missing element really in my own human performance was to double down and get very serious on strength training. I had always been strength training, but it really was more kind of a pastime. It was really more something that we were supposed to do, but I hadn't learned it. I hadn't studied it. I hadn't really applied it to myself appropriately. And it was then during this transition in my life where I shifted everything in terms of my approach to nutrition and fitness. Instead of focusing on cardio and low carb, I turned it on its head and I started focusing on strength training and eating carbs. And everything changed. And it was during that phase where I really got good with strength training that I experienced firsthand that when you feel physically strong, it really does impact all aspects of your life. I noticed that I felt stronger in my personal life. I felt more confident in my professional life. I felt that whenever I had to address a conflict or a difficult person in my life, I felt physically stronger. And that really impacted how I carried myself. And I felt like the stronger I got, the more muscle I had, everything in my life got better. And that was when it clicked. I realized I was ahead of my time because very few people were talking about strength training specifically for women. And I had this really just kind of like, it was, I remember it was in a yoga class. I had a big epiphany. It was as if my spiritual guides came in and gave me a specific message. And that message was, strength training is the path to really alleviate so much suffering for women because it impacts your hormones, your energy, how you feel, your mood, your confidence, everything about your mind-body connection, the physical body, the spiritual life, and also your personality. And that's when I was like, I'm going all in. So I would say that was probably like right around my mid-30s, I think. And so we're going back 20 years now, where it was like, okay, that is the focus. That is what I'm going to be teaching everything around. And, you know, here we are. We're finally in a very different landscape where women understand the importance and the power of strength training.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing behind the scenes. I don't think you share that story publicly that often. I love that. So here's something that, you know, many of you know, Holly is a redhead. And, you know, redheads sometimes get a reputation for being like hot, you know? And I've had some moments where I'm like, Holly's cool. She's calm. Nothing rocks her. Oh, but when Holly gets rocked, I call it Redhead Holly. And Redhead Holly sometimes comes out. So I say that to say it doesn't happen often. It's like in my all, I don't know, 10 plus years of knowing her, I think I've seen Redhead Holly 3 or 4 times. So it's very rarely. But one time, you know, it's around these fitness myths sometimes that comes out too. And she'll go off on a rant. So what's one myth about women in fitness that just drives you absolutely insane and sometimes activates Redhead Holly?
Oh, gosh. Low carb. Oh, boy. Whew. That definitely ignites Redhead Holly, is this idea that eating fewer carbs is your salvation, that it is the solution to weight loss or fat loss. New science is emerging that is really revealing that we've gone down this path that if you have hormonal issues along the lines of, let's say, PCOS or insulin resistance or syndrome X, or you are on the precipice of diabetes, the kind of current landscape is that you start to restrict carbohydrates to improve insulin sensitivity. And I don't want to get too sciencey today because I know today is really more of like a personal interview. But I lately have been getting really hot under the collar when a client comes to me who has been struggling for years. I've got a couple right now. Some are in their 30s, some are in their 40s, some are in their 50s, where they had been working with medical doctors, functional nutritionists, functional medicine doctors, chiropractors, a number of very credentialed, very respectable providers. And the protocol was to reduce their carbohydrates. And the idea is that their A1C or their resting glucose or their insulin sensitivity would improve. And therefore, their symptoms associated with those health issues would improve. And what I have seen now on at least 8 occasions firsthand with clients that have come to me is that even with a further reduction of carbohydrates all the way down to less than 100 grams of carbs a day, these women were not getting better. Now, some of them weren't getting worse, but they weren't getting better. And I said, why are you continuing to go down this path if it's not getting you better? You're not seeing an improvement by eliminating or reducing carbs down to an ultra low level. And in which case she would say to me, huh, I hadn't thought about that. I was following the advice of medical doctors and thought leaders and really and truly, like I said, a very respectable people in their field. And I said, you know, that doesn't line up with my experience. Let's take your carbohydrates up to where human biology wants it. You know, the human body is really built for a certain amount of carbohydrates. And in my school, in my sphere, if you will, that's a minimum of 40% of your daily calories coming from carbohydrates. And so many women were terrified to take their carbohydrates up to 40%, thinking that was so high which it's actually not. Technically, 40% carbohydrates is considered low carb, by the way. And, you know, through some hand-holding and some coaching and some guidance, they brought their carbohydrates up to 40%, and lo and behold, they started feeling better. And their lab work started to improve. And so I was able to convince them to come up to 45% carbs. Things got even better. Most of these clients are now up to 50% carbohydrates in their daily diet, and their labs are finally changing. And that's because when you give the human body what it's really designed for, it gets better. So I lately have been getting real hot around this just pervasive notion that carbs are a problem. We have been in this like landscape for 30 years now, and nothing is getting better. You would think those other thought leaders, those other medical professionals would kind of get the memo also and start to look at it differently. And so I would say, like, right now, this week and this month, that's the thing that, like, the myth that absolutely drives me nuts and, yes, can bring out Redhead Holly.
I love it. I love it. Well, let's say, you know, Redhead Holly is a part of you, but there's also the part that I know that I think Holly is one of the hardest workers. I think she's one of the most dedicated people to herself, to her path, to her mission. And, you know, life gets hard at times. And, you know, you started in New York, you were up early in the morning. You know, the time I met Holly, frankly, she was going to the gym at 5 a.m. and meeting clients and ending her day at 3. And, you know, she had to be up early, so she would go to bed really early. I'm like, how am I ever going to be friends with this person? She's literally living in the gym all the time and then saying she's tired all the time, but she's so cool. And in the background, I actually met Holly. I was doing some sales and enrollment for a retreat, and she was the trainer for the retreat host, essentially. So we had a lot of free time. We met in Hawaii. I started doing walking lunges on the beach with her. And I was like, she is so cool, but I need more than 7 days to be friends with her. And after the retreat, I was like, listening to our lifestyle, we happened to both live in LA. And I really didn't know, like, how she did it. So going back to that time, Holly, was there a time you ever gave up on this path? I mean, those are hard hours in the gym. And then you transferred. I convinced her to maybe get out of the gym and do this online thing because, you know, I can have a friend. And if I'm being honest and my selfish, you know, motives. And online business and being a business owner is not an easy path. Have you ever almost given up on either one of those paths, or your this path as a, you know, educator, trainer? You're so much more than just someone who goes in the gym.
Yeah. Wow. Such a good question. And you even just took me through like the ages and stages of my career. And it really is true. Like, I work my booty off, and this is a very hard type of business to run. And being a personal trainer in the gym for 8-10 hours a day is a very hard business as well. So the times where, when I think back to the few times where I thought, do I want to go in a different direction in my life? It was always because of physical exhaustion. It was always when I was having a health hiccup, and I've had a couple of those chapters in my life where I was just depleted to the bone and tapped out and exhausted and frustrated and confused. It was always only in those moments that I was like, maybe I need to find a different path in life that's just easier, whether that's physically easier or from a like mental bandwidth perspective, right? I think something a lot of people don't realize is like, my business doesn't ever shut down. Like, even on Christmas Day, I was doing work, right? Like, my business doesn't ever shut down, and therefore my brain doesn't ever shut down. And the times when I was like, ooh, physically not feeling well, even still, you know, there are days when I'm like, if I'm exhausted because I've worked too hard, or I haven't taken any time off, and I'm just depleted mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, it's, can I keep doing this? And ultimately, every single time when I have confronted that question, thankfully, I've always said to myself, if I felt physically amazing right now, what would I choose to do? Like, if life was awesome and I felt great, what decision would I make here? And it was just always so unanimous and obvious that I'm like, this is my calling in life. Like, I have zero doubts the remedy is I need to get better at self-care. And that might sound kind of ironic because I'm in the business of helping people be healthier, right? But, you know, when you're a business owner, and for many of my years, I was, you know, a solo business owner. I was by myself. I didn't have a partner. And I've always run my business by myself. It's easy for me to put my self-care aside and work myself to the bone at times, just like other people do in different areas. And so those are the only times when I'm like, ugh, I don't wanna, right? But when I really stop and look at my life's joy and what I get so passionate about and what I obsess about, even in the middle of the night, it's always this helping women use strength training and nutrition to improve their body composition so that their life improves through a health improvement. It's all tied together. And so, you know, thankfully, I feel like I've always had this guiding light that just kept me going through the tough times.
I love that. You just keyed up the next question because you literally almost said your own tagline. You know, a lot of times in business, you're advised, for any business owners listening, you know, to, in a sentence, say what you do and, you know, make it where someone remembers it. And you just kind of spoke to that in your own life. So the next question I have is, you know, your business tagline, but really the thing you talk so much about is having the body you need to keep up with the life you love. And, you know, as you were sharing, you talked a little bit about self-care. Specifically right now, what does that look like for you when you're practicing that in your own life?
You know, there's so much I want to do in life. I have a lot of interests in things unrelated to my professional life, right? And life can be so fun, and there's so much to do and so many places to go and things to learn. And when you're tired or you don't feel well, it's hard to have that fun. It's hard to really explore that part of life. So like for me right now, it's, you know, I want to live the biggest life I can. And I know if I don't have my physical body in check, I'm unable to really show up for all those fun things in life, whether it's travel or an adventure or a new activity or learning a new skill or even making a new recipe in the kitchen, whatever it may be. If you're tired, you don't feel well, it's hard to do that. And so for me, that's really what it's about. It's like, in the times of my life when I was in peak physical performance, I was able to show up for life so much more and be in life so much more. I was unstoppable. Fatigue was less of an issue. My days were longer. I slept less and still felt good, right? And so for me, that's what it's about right now. It's like really getting my biology dialed in because I've been in this industry now for over 30 years. My 20-year-old body was very different than my 30-year-old body, was very different than my 40-year-old body. And now that I'm in my 50s, it's a very different physical body. And so for each decade, you have to adopt different practices. And so I am in that right now where it's like, okay, the latest practice to keep me feeling optimal has a lot to do with nutrition, and even more so is about getting strength training dialed in. So much so that now in my 50s, I'm doing the least amount of cardio I've ever done in my entire life. And that's part of the recipe for really keeping me feeling vibrant and energized and excited about whatever the adventure is on the day's plan.
I love that. That is so true too. Like if you have all the money in the world, but you don't have health, right? You have nothing at all.
Yeah.
That's really true.
It's really true. And you know, like there were times in my life, I think when I was younger and I felt like invincible, nothing's going to stop me. Mm-hmm. And then when I had a chapter in life where I was really struggling with physical health, this idea of like, there was a time when I was like, well, but if I had all the money in the world, I could go to all of the best doctors in Switzerland or Mexico or wherever it may be, right? And go to the best doctors to get the health that I need to get healthy. And that's when I realized like, we have stories every day in the media of people, famous people who have all the money in the world, and yet they pass away from cancer or some other life-threatening disease that like money and the best doctors in the world couldn't fix. And that really is true. You know, our health is a little uncertain as we start to get into our 60s and 70s. It starts to get trickier, if you will. But there literally is nothing in life more important than getting your health dialed in and doing everything that you can do right now to at least add to the stockpile of health that you may need to draw upon in the future.
Absolutely.
So if you've been around for a while, you've heard me talk about how that number on the bathroom scale is so silly and has such a tendency to really make us feel crazy and in some cases really ruin your day. And so a while back, I made an exciting discovery that really changes all of that. I stopped focusing on body weight and started putting my energy into rebuilding and redesigning and reshaping my body's true potential. And recently, I discovered a new product that's really helping me that I am so excited about. It's called Creatone by Brickhouse Nutrition, and it was created by doctors specifically for women. Creatone helps me look more toned, more defined, more sculpted without actually having to increase my diet and exercise. I just keep following my standard program, and yep, no increase in diet or exercise. Creatone is radically different from other creatine that you've heard out there, like a guy's creatine. It's specifically designed for women with pure creatine and patented ingredients that reshape your body so that you look leaner, trimmer, and more toned. No water retention, no weight gain, and no bulking up. And it boosts metabolism to help you burn fat, which is such a big plus and a big reason why I love creatine in general. Break up with your bathroom scale, do exactly what I did, and watch how fast Creatone can help you look leaner, toned, and sculpted when you incorporate it with your strength training. And thanks to my friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, you can get started with 20% off your first order. Just visit tonetoday.com, T-O-N-E-T-O-D-A-Y, tonetoday.com, and use my code HollyP for your discount. Again, use my code HollyP to save 20% at tonetoday.com.
Going back to you, keeping it a little more personal, she's amazing at giving advice and giving coaching, and you're the most well-studied, well-read, honestly, in terms of fitness and health, you know, person I know. Personally, what's something that you are currently working on that's really active for you right now when it comes to your own health in this decade, as you were saying? I love how you said that. It's different each decade.
Yeah. So, you know, this is a unique one, and that's because for the majority of my adult life, I had pure 100% focus on my professional life, and therefore, I would structure my days, my habits, and my life from the place of like, what do I need to eat to optimize my health, whether I like it or not? Right? Like, if I need to eat raw broccoli all day long so that I can perform well, I will. Mm-hmm. So my life took a really wonderful shift 4 years ago when I met my now husband. I hadn't been in a relationship for a very long time. And so, I, like I said, I was really able to structure all of my habits and all of my life around just like body optimization, like eating for optimal performance, right? And so, you know, when I met my husband, he eats differently than I do. And we also went into a phase, or I went into a phase of life that was really about like celebration and joy and like really and truly celebrating like every single day, because I really had something finally for the first time that was worthy of big celebration. And so my life in the past 4 years has shifted a little away from like eating for optimal performance, going to bed for optimal performance at the right time, getting up at a certain time. It has shifted away from that because it's like life has gotten good and fun. And
wait, was that the inner Holly voice before? The
yes.
voice you just had? That's what everyone now knows. That was the inner voice that drove Holly before. What does the inner voice now sound like? Let's have a beer and then we'll work out in the morning.
Totally. Like the inner voice now is like, life is fun. Let's have a beer, right? Let's go out to eat. I don't have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. We can sleep in a little because now it's cozy and I've got someone I actually want to stay in bed with, right? And so like this season of life for me is a bit more about joy and, you know, pleasure eating, if you will, And I do think that like there's a time and place for that, absolutely without a doubt. Most people, it's the flip-flop. Most of their life was pleasure eating and now they have to learn performance eating and performance lifestyle, right? I'm all the opposite. It's like I'm a late bloomer in the sense of like finding that kind of joy and pleasure in my life. I'm very late to come around to. Totally fine. I'm not judging one way or the other. But it's like both can exist and there are seasons of crackdown where you are really choosing your habits and behaviors to support performance. And then there's seasons that are a little less rigid. And this is the first time in my life that I've really had to confront that season, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's like keeping some of that, I guess, ease and joy and lack of structure and precision and performance, but also balancing it with that so that I feel well. And so while I am 100% choosing into some of my current lifestyle habits that I consciously choose into and feel good about and don't feel any sense of guilt or remorse, I also know I don't feel as well physically, right? Like I am someone who my habits really do indicate how well I feel physically. I mean, it is such a direct correlation. Now, I believe that's every human, but it's really powerful for me. And so what I'm working on right now is getting back to that balance where it's like, I'm optimal, but I can have an IPA if I want one on the weekend. I feel great in the morning when I get up, right? But I also don't have to get up at 5:30 in the morning. And so it's just really finding that perfect balance, less so that I look ripped for my next exercise video or my next photo shoot, and more so that I just feel like unstoppable and powerful and energized and really and truly, you know, when we go back to the myths that drive me nuts and get me a little hot under the collar, really where I'm coming around to is an awareness that for all women, there are some very serious downsides to being ripped and lean and six-pack abs. And yet, so many women think that's what they're striving for. But the truth is, you will actually feel better and be healthier if you've got some body fat on you. And we can put numbers to what that is. I really believe it's around 75 to 80% lean muscle mass percentage, right? But like, for me, what I'm learning firsthand is that it is that in between, that balance of, when I was 12% body fat and 115 pounds, I could perform like a beast in the gym, but there were other aspects of my life that were harder because I was so lean. And I would almost argue that wasn't optimal health. It was optimal fitness. It was peak performance for sure, but I'm not convinced it was optimal health. And so this is a season of realizing that like, if a person really wants to be optimally healthy, it does come with some body fat. And that's hard for me to be okay with that, right? So yeah, that's, I could go on and on and on, obviously, and this is deeply personal, but that's the season I'm in right now.
I love that for you. And yeah, it's been really fun as a like dear friend to see this evolution. And yeah, it's so great. And I'm so happy for you. So what's one thing that people might be a little shocked to learn about you?
You know, I think, okay, the people and clients and participants and friends in my community that have become clients who actively coach with me, they're inside the Body Composition Project, or they see me every week, they interact with me every week, might not be surprised to hear this, but a podcast listener or maybe someone who doesn't know me as their coach yet would be surprised to hear this. And that is, my diet is not perfect. And I don't kill myself in the gym. And I think a lot of people are often surprised where it's like, wait, you eat some sugar, you drink alcohol. And I think the world has this notion that if you are at a healthy body weight or you're lean or you're fit or you're strong, it means all this restriction. And so I think people would be surprised to know that like, yes, I drink alcohol twice a week. Yes, I rely on caffeine on days when I probably shouldn't. Yes, I learned to make my own homemade caramel over the holidays. And that was probably a very bad habit to start because it's so addictive. But like, there's a lot of flexibility and normal in my life. And I think people are surprised to learn that about me.
I love hearing that. I love that you share that. I was talking to someone recently, and the reason they signed up for the body composition project, they actually said, I love that I can eat a donut and not feel guilty. Like Holly shared, she ate a donut. And I feel like in your living of a normal life, it also normalizes normal life, because most people don't wake up and eat, you know, 4 ounces of ground turkey and rice and broccoli and get to the gym. And then 3 hours later, you know, do a 2-hour cardio. Like most women in the community have jobs and family and commitments and don't have the only sole priority of training for a bodybuilding competition. You know, I'd say that's actually a very, very small percentage of people that are in this community, you know? So I love that you embody real life and how that really works. And you're training for real life and consistency. It's not like a short-term, you know, do this program and get a short-term result.
Yeah. And, you know, I think like that's such a great way to phrase it. I think women have this idea that in order to lose weight or get leaner, it's all or nothing. It's a perfectly clean diet or not. And the truth is, it actually doesn't take a lot to really improve or transform your body. And so as long as you're able to implement certain practices or protocols that move you in the right direction, then it's just a function of a matter of time and the degree of discomfort you're willing to deal with. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, it's like, you know, I lose weight at 2,000 calories a day. Mm-hmm. And that's because of, you know, a lifetime of walking my walk and talking my talk. And I think people are surprised about that. I can lose weight and have a donut. Mm-hmm. I can lose weight and eat caramel if I want to. Mm-hmm. I can lose weight and eat pizza and have a beer on the weekend if I want to. And I think a lot of people think you can't have any of these like fun foods or mm-hmm. indulgent foods at all. And I think people think you have to work out every single day for 2 hours to transform your body. And that's actually not true. In fact, I would argue it's counterproductive. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I will say, I think I do a really good job of walking the walk of what's realistic for most women. Mm-hmm. And while I'm not in cover model shape right now, I know I could be if I really wanted to, and it wouldn't take that long. I know exactly how to do it and what to do. I'm choosing into it or not. And I think that is something I do very well with people because, oh, by the way, your experience in one of my programs isn't about my habits or my goals. It's about what you want for yourself.
Yeah. I love that. I'll share the thing that I was most shocked to learn about Holly. Her first job, one of my favorite questions to ask new friends is like, what was your first job when you were a teenager? What's one of the first things you did? And Holly shared that she was a Mary Kay sales rep. And she was so motivated to save, I think it was it for like nails or jewelry? And you were like building your business as a teenager. Is that true, Holly, of what you're saving for?
Oh my gosh, I think it's so funny that you remember that story. So yes, at a very young age, I was always entrepreneurial and I was a girly girl. I wanted clothing and I wanted fancy handbags and I wanted jewelry. And, you know, my family couldn't afford that. We were very middle class. And so I was like, fine, well, then I'm going to go get a job. And so I think I was in like fifth or sixth grade going door to door in my neighborhood selling Mary Kay makeup. Isn't that hilarious? I wasn't very good at it, by the way, because it was very like nervous making to go like knocking on doors, right? But I had a few sweet little old ladies that were my customers and it allowed me to get the makeup, you know, for either you would either get it for free or get it like super discounted, but I loved it. And then very quickly, my next job was actually working at an ice cream shop at the mall. And so starting at a very young age, I always had a job. I always was very entrepreneurial. And so I don't think it's any surprise that for the majority of my professional career, I've worked for myself now. Yeah.
I love it. And this is why we are friends.
Exactly.
I was selling magazines door to door and loving it. Was actually really good at it by seventh grade.
I'm sure you were. Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
All right. Well, last question. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. If you have any other personal questions you want to know, just DM Holly on Instagram. It's at Holly Perkins. And, you know, she shares a lot of incredible personal and professional information on her Instagram. If that is a place you like to be, Holly's there. We'll wrap this one with, if your life had a theme song right now, what would it be?
Oh, gosh, you're going to die. Oh, boy, this is almost embarrassing to even say. So on our Spotify, when Dave and I were working out one day in the gym, you know how sometimes they will kind of offer you up a song that you haven't listened to or maybe like new music, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's an old Britney Spears song called Work It, B-I-T-C-H.
Okay.
It is the most hilarious song. That has been my theme song for the past couple of months. And when we work out, we're playing that. And I just think it's hilarious. If you don't know the song, you should listen to it. It's kind of campy. It's totally goofy. But she's like, you know, if you want a fancy car, if you want a big mansion, if you want a hot body, you better work it, B-I-T-C-H. And then it's like, if you want a Maserati, if you want a Lamborghini, if you want a, you know, party in France, you better work at B-I-T-C-H.
Oh, so my gosh.
I think right now is probably my theme song at this time, because this is definitely like a building time in my business. I want to grow my business with my next book coming out and with the body composition project. I'm definitely in like a heavy work phase of my life right now. And so I think that hilariously and kind of like in a tongue-in-cheek way would be my theme song at this time.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I just pulled up the lyrics as you were saying it. This is great. Bring it on. Ring the alarm. Work it hard like it's your profession. All right. Well, with that, I better go work it. So, you know, we could get the Bugatti and the Maserati.
Exactly.
It was so fun being with you here today, Holly. It's so fun being on your team, being in your community, and being your friend.
Thank you. Thank you. What a blast. I'm so glad you as listeners enjoyed it. And hopefully we'll do it again. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And hey, if you're new and you want to learn more about how I help women get the strong, lean, athletic body that they want, you'll want to hear episode 83 of my podcast, Why 70% Lean Mass is the Target for Women, and What Your Body Comp Report is Really Telling You, so that you can become more muscle and less fat. Come over to my website now, hollyperkins.com/blog, and use the tool to search 70%. That way you can listen to this episode now and learn to become more muscle and less fat. And stay tuned for another brand new episode on Tuesday of next week. Stay strong, my friend. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. I am so happy that you're here, and I hope you loved it. If you did, please take a moment to subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a review. And if you want more from me, check out my blog and coaching programs over at hollyperkins.com. That's all for now. I'll see you next week.